You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies show. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this podcast, the Grizzlies lose to the Rockets. Man, that game was depressing as I record this late Monday night. That game was just depressing on a lot of things. I mean, we're going to talk through this game as much as we can in this show. Let's just get right to it because there's a lot to look at here. First of all, obviously, James Harden, 57 points. 17 for 33 from the field, 6 for 15 from 3, 17 for 18 from the free throw line. Just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. In a game where you know they're not going to have Capella, they're not going to have Eric Gordon, they're not going to have Chris Paul, three starters from their team, and you know the only person you really have to stop and sell out to is James Harden, and in that game, he scores 57 on you, 36 in the first half. Just insane to me how you can have that level of no focus and no idea of what exactly you're supposed to be doing on the court. The offense looked absolutely like they had no idea what they were doing. The defense looked pitiful in the first half. Zero rotation to the middle of the floor for the drive. Almost like they were staying home on shooters, but you can't let James Harden get unassisted drives straight to the basket. And then in the third quarter, they adjust and over-adjust to step up too far with no rotation back out to the three-point line on the weak side for wide-open three-pointers. And the Rockets score nine three-pointers in the third quarter. One quarter, just the third, nine three-pointers as a team. It really is shameful. The Grizzlies should be angry in the locker room with the performance they put in there. Just absolutely pitiful. And I don't know where you go from here as the Grizzlies. But just looking at the Grizzlies and this box score is not indicative of what the really a game really was, because in that third quarter they were down 16-17. At the end of the third, I think maybe even 18 going into the fourth. So this box score is not indicative of the true game itself, but I will go through it anyway. Jaren Jackson with 11 field goals, 31 minutes and 12 points, 6 rebounds and 3 blocks. Marc Gasol, 2 for 5, 25 minutes, 1 for 4 from the free throw line, 2 for 5 from the field, 5 points, 4 assists, 7 rebounds. He did get hurt early. He had a stinger on his elbow. His elbow and I guess maybe lost some feeling in his right hand, right arm. He was favoring that pretty well. It happened. I'm not sure what exactly play it happened, but after it happened, he actually airballed a free throw. So he went off the court and came back to the bench and then came back in the game. You know, I'm not really ever sure if he was himself, but, you know, again, 5 shots for Marc Gasol. If he was injured, you know, why come back in the game at all? As we continue, if we talked about with Marc Gasol, why hurt your team more and come back in the game more by playing hurt and not playing to your full potential? Mike Conley, 5 for 10, 1 for 4 from 3. For 14 points. Again, that's not indicative of the actual box score. And we'll go through some specific notes I had taken here in a minute. I'm just kind of going through the box right now. Javon Carter, 2 for 6, 8 points, 15 minutes. Garrett Temple, 5 for 7, 4 for 6 from 3, 14 points, 3 rebounds, 34 minutes. Probably one of your best players. Jamaica Green, 22 minutes off the bench, 4 for 7 from the field, 9 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Again, consistent from Jermichael Green. You kind of know what you're going to get with him. Omri Caspi was one of the better players off the bench as well. 25 minutes, 4-for-6 from three, or 4-for-6 from the field, 2-for-2 from three, three rebounds, 12 points. Shelvin Mack, 23 minutes, 5-for-9 from the field, three rebounds, 7 assists, 10 points. Again, some of those minutes coming in a backup and a trash game in the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter wise, primarily, the game was pretty much over at the end of the third. The Rockets score 33 in the third, 30 in the second, and the Grizzlies score 19 and 22 in the second and third quarter, respectively. So, again, just not something you can have. These are things that are still very confusing to me. And we're going to – I took some notes on the game. Just, and it's easier for me to talk about the game as the game just happened because it's kind of fresh in my mind. So we're going to take a quick break and come back and go through those notes and kind of talk a little bit more about the game that happened, you know, because the box score, again, is not indicative to – everything that went on this game. It was because the game was over by the third quarter, so there's a lot of garbage time minutes. So we'll take a quick break, come back, and talk about this, kind of get more in depth. Welcome back to the show. Grizzlies lose to the Rockets in Houston, 112-94. That is the sixth road loss in a row for the Grizzlies, in a game where they let the Rockets shoot 18 for 48 from three, and the Grizzlies shoot 10 for 22. The Grizzlies shot 50% from the field, but don't let that number misguide you to the actual problem. They shot 13 less. They had 13 less shot attempts than the Rockets. The Rockets shot the ball 13 more times, and was much more efficient in those shot attempts, especially. And they had 18 more threes. They shot 48 threes. I mean, just an insane number, really. But the Grizzlies have a guy in Justin Holiday who, honestly, I said on this podcast on Monday, I thought they were going to start him. They ended up starting Javon Carter in his play, or in Kyle Anderson's place, and having Temple play the kind of the three spot. And so starting Javon was kind of out of nowhere. I mean, it was an interesting thought. I get it, what you're trying to do. You're trying to kind of keep the bench together. Well, that was my initial thought, was you try to keep the bench together. You go with Carter, let him play some defensive minutes on Harden, and kind of let Mike be able to be the offense there. And the idea is, you know, once you think about it like that, the idea is not bad. And actually, Javon played good on Harden. Was really played him quite well. There were some mistakes here and there, like, you know, he was planning way up high at one point where he's so close to his body that it would make it extremely easy for Harden to drive right by him. You know, and I think those are chalking up to more rookie mistakes, especially playing a guy like Harden against him. I mean, he's very, very adept to the way you're playing him and how can he best take advantage of that. But I thought all in all, he was playing quite well. He came back out in the second half with the starters. And then for some reason, JB pulls him, you know, like 3 minutes into the third quarter and puts in Omri Caspi. And I love Omri, and he played a great game. But I thought Javon was playing solid defense on Harden. He had two possessions in a row. We took some kind of bad shots. One was like a pull-up three, which I get. You know, that's not the shot Javon should be taking at all. You're out there for one reason only. You're out there is to deny Harden the ball as much as possible and make his life miserable. That's it. That is your only job out there. And then for some reason, I have no clue, Javon Carter gets pulled and Omri Caspi gets subbed in, which, yes, Omri brought some energy and it played well in the first half, but, you know, there's no reason to sub him in that early and really take the rotations, get them out of whack. Javon doesn't even see the court the rest of the game. Well, excuse me, he does see the court the rest of the game in basically garbage time in the last part of the fourth quarter. So somehow JB managed to play a guy as a starter and in garbage time at the same exact game, which is actually impressive, and I've never seen that done before, probably. Justin Holiday, a guy you gave up two players and two second-round picks for, played just 7 minutes before it was a blowout. 7 minutes. The guy who largely everybody thought would be the get the bulk of the minutes played 7 minutes. The guy you gave up 2 second-round picks, 2 players, played 7 minutes. I get the idea. I mean, I've already said it on this podcast that you overpaid for Justin Holliday. Whatever you thought you were getting with Justin Holliday, you weren't. But was he better than the players you sent out? Yes. Did you need to include the 2 second-round picks? No. Whatever you think of second-round picks, by the way, you should think of them as a good thing. They are assets. They are currency in today's NBA. Don't let anybody tell you that second-round picks don't matter. Don't let anybody tell you that you just buy a second-round pick. It's not a big deal. You just buy them in the draft if you want them. That's not it. They're currency. That's what you use to get Justin Holliday. If you're a Justin Holliday fan, second-round picks are what you got you the player because they were bidding with other teams, and so they had to include the second-round picks to get the player. But this guy you went out and get to be the off-the-bench wing in a point where your depth is basically none at the wing spot, he gets 7 minutes. I don't understand it. I don't get it. That's crazy to me. If you want a guy to get in, kind of get into the offense, learn the defense better, you have to play him, especially the guy that you think you're probably going to bring back this year. And if you don't bring back Justin Holliday this year, it's even more of a waste of assets from this team to give up players and picks for a half of a year rental for a guy who is decent and hasn't even really helped you, and that's it. You give up assets for a year rental when you're not even a playoff team? Doesn't make sense. Some other things that happened: Green, Temple, Caspi, Carter, Jaren, and Shelvin Mack all had more shot attempts than Mike or Marc Gasol before that game was hard at hand. Let me read that list again. Green, Temple, Caspi, Carter, Jaren, and Mack all had more shot attempts than your franchise players, your star players, Mike Conley or Marc Gasol, before that game was really out of hand. Think about that for a minute. Your franchise players, the players you're paying the most money to, couldn't manage to shoot more attempts, take more shots than all the role players combined, or all the role players on this team. That is unacceptable. That is not how you win games. It seems like a rational conclusion that your two best players should take the most shots because they're your best players. Mike Conley, 1 shot at halftime. He had 1 shot at halftime, and he was 0-for-1. Mark had 4 shots at halftime, and I think he was 1-for-4. So between your two best players, that entire first half, you had 5 shots. They took 5 shots for you. That is unacceptable, and you can't sit here and tell me that that's you're riding the hot hand or that's just the way things go. I mean, that's unacceptable. There are no other players that are quote unquote stars in the league that are going out and shooting 1 shot at halftime or shooting in Mark's case 5 shots the entire game. Now Mark was hurt, maybe, I don't know, that may have something to play into it. And if he is, then take yourself out of the damn game. Understand that you're hurt, and by playing hurt is worse than playing and taking 5 shots. Understand that you being on the bench and maybe letting them play someone else is probably better than you taking 5 shots, making 2 of them, and really not doing anything else, especially on the defensive end. It does not make sense. The Grizzlies' rotations defensively were atrocious in the first half. Atrocious. They continue to let people get wide open for threes, as we talked about in the first segment. The Houston Rockets had 9 shot attempts in the third quarter. In one quarter, made 9 threes. That is insane to me. And I keep saying it's insane because a lot of this stuff just doesn't make sense. I don't know. It's hard to kind of decipher this any more than I already have, just kind of a quick like post-game reaction, like the game ended like 10 minutes ago. You know, without really diving further into it, it's on the surface, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Some of these things I can rationally explain, like the Javon thing starting, like I probably wouldn't have done it. That's not what, if I was in charge, that's probably not what I would have done, but I kind of get it. I get what the thought process is there. And quite frankly, I'd like to see Javon get more time. And I think he probably might, he might be a good player, but we won't know if he's sitting on the bench. That's for sure. We're going to take another quick break. We'll come back and we'll do the last part of this show. Again, I got a few more quick nuggets here that I took, just notes that I was writing down as the game was happening. That we'll talk about that after the break. Welcome back to the show. Just continue to talk about this Rockets game. So as we're going through my notes from the game, Houston Rockets, they played the other big thing that was huge, and I actually tweeted this out at the beginning of the game, that the Grizzlies, and this was actually before they sized down, but the Grizzlies, they started in an A, and PJ Tucker as their 3/4/5, and the Grizzlies on the court at all times when they're playing, Mark and Jaren had the best two big men on the court. And so it's a little like, it's like the Rockets. When you have, you know, Harden, you have Gerald Green, you have other people out there that are really, really good 3-point shooters, you want to play to that advantage as much as you can. This is why they took 48 threes. You want to play to that advantage as much as you can. And I actually tweeted this out at the beginning of the game, that the Grizzlies had the best 1, 4, 5, you know, the best two big men on the floor with Mike and Jared on the floor. At any given time, if they're both on the floor, they had the best two big men on the floor. At any given point in that game, they had the best two players. And they had to take advantage of it. They had to play through those guys. They had to take advantage of it. Literally just play like you, the Grizzlies used to play like this with Mark and Zebo. They would bring the ball up the court, run maybe one pick and roll, the one screen, and one action, and throw the ball to Zach, and Zach would go to work and score basket. That's it. That's all the offense was. And we screamed about it at the time. We screamed about it. We said, this is ridiculous. That can't be your one-dimensional offense. You have to have 3-point shooting. You have to have someone to kick it out to when they start doubling Zach. But the Grizzlies, that's what they should have done. They should have brought the ball up the floor, put Mark on one side of the floor, give him the ball, let him go to work. When they start double-teaming Mark, do it on the other side with Jaren. When they start double-teaming Jaren, Jaren and Mark are smart enough basketball players, are good enough basketball players to throw out of the post, to pass out of the post. As long as they're the person they're doubling off of, as long as that player flashes to Mark or Jaren to where he can actually see him, because if you get doubled as a big man, your teammate who is open now has to flash to you where he can be seen, so you can actually make a pass. If that doesn't happen, then they can't pass out of the double. But Mark and Jaren are both smart enough to be able to do that. And I tweeted this at the end of the game, that they have to just play old school Grizzlies basketball when you had two really good big men and you just came down and you threw the ball to Zebo, and sometimes there was no screening action at all. You just came down, you threw the ball to Zebo, and that was it. That was the offense. That was the extent of the offense, and that's all they had. And the other part of the offense was throw the ball to Mark. And the third part of the offense was a high low between Mark and Zebo. And that was it. Beyond that, there was no offense. And we screamed about it for years of how you had to have 3-point shooting. You could not play in the playoffs and have this one dimensional offense. Well, you know what? The Grizzlies need to start right there. Because most of the time, the majority of the time, their two big men, and Mark and Jaren, are the best two big men on the floor on most nights. Just player versus player against the other team. And then the Houston Rockets go basically all guards in like the third and fourth quarter. And you still, for some reason, can't take advantage of the only advantage you have, which is your big men. How, for some reason, does Jaren not get the effing ball on every single possession when Mark's not in the game? How, and for whatever reason, I don't know, you can't throw Mark the ball in the post and let him go to work. You have to take advantage of the advantages that you have. You have to see those things. You have to be able to understand, this is the game plan. We have the better players in this area. This is how we take advantage of their weaknesses. And yet, for some reason, it just doesn't work. You can't, for some reason, understand that this is your advantage in this situation. You have the better players. Let them do something. Instead, you end up with like Sheva Mack dribbling around the possession, dribbling the ball around for most of the possession. And Jaren Jackson, you know, even in a garbage game, he only has 11 attempts. He should have 13 attempts every single game. You know, I just even when the Houston Rockets somehow play James Harden on Marc Gasol on defense all the time when they play the Rockets, Harden is on Mark, ends up on Mark all the time, and the Grizzlies never ever make them pay for it. You know how you get James Harden off of Marc Gasol, or you know how you make them put Nene in the because they're playing great with a small ball, basically all small forwards and guards, wings and guards out of the floor. You know how you make them stop doing that? Put them in the post. Take advantage of them playing smaller players. Just like they take advantage of that same situation of you playing bigger players on their offense, and they're making those big guys try to run around screens, try to come off of screens, and they're just dropping three-pointers. They're making those big guys move out to the three-point line. They're making those big guys moving in and out of the lane. Just like they do the exact same thing to you on offense, you have to do that to you on your offensive side of things. And at some point, things will give. And for the Grizzlies, it was their defense. It was the Rockets' offense that gave and scored a ton of three-pointers, especially late in the third and that fourth quarter. And then, for all that being said, the Rockets basically have no center on the court all the time, and you trot Joakim Noah out there? For what reason? Are you trotting Joakim Noah out there when they're basically playing a lineup of all guards? You brought Noah in here for defensive rebounding, you brought him in there for his defensive play and rebounding against bigger centers. And somehow he's out there when they're playing all guards? For what? To score against them? Because that shit ain't happening. Even in Noah's box score, 2 points, 1 for 3 with 7 rebounds, the most rebounds he's had in a long time. 2 points. So why are you playing Joakim Noah at all out there whenever they have basically a super small lineup out there? What benefit does that serve you at all? Besides maybe a few offensive rebounds. To the tune of 2 offensive rebounds for, 2 offensive rebounds for the entire game for Noah. So what does that do you at all? Either play your big guys and take advantage of the big guys you have, Gasol, Jaren, or roll the smaller lineup and put Jaren at the 5, Gasol at the 5, go with Rab at the 4, something like that. I mean, rolling Joakim Noah out there for 11 minutes is just insane at this point. When he's, you know, giving you, especially against a guard heavy, a wing guard heavy lineup of the Rockets, he doesn't give you anything, especially on defense. They're just gonna eat him alive, and he definitely doesn't give you anything on offense to be able to do anything at all to take advantage of their smaller lineup. So so many weird things in this. So many weird things in this game, and I probably ranted enough as it is in this episode. But it just, you know, there's only so many questions and things I can kind of take down in notes, and we still have seems like we have more questions than answers at this point, because in a game we thought we would probably get a pretty normal lineup of Holiday starting at the 2, you get just some weird stuff happening all around. But the Grizzlies end up losing 112-94. They come back home for one game at Wednesday against the Bucks. Then they play the Raptors and the Celtics, I believe, on Friday and Saturday. So, you know, I'm not sure they win any of those games. I think this game was the most winnable game you had out of all four of them, especially with the Rockets being down 3 starters and you still can't find a way. Not only do you not find a way to win, and I said this, I tweeted this as the game was happening, you have to sell out to James Harden. If Austin Rivers beats you shooting contested threes, I don't care. I'll come out here and say, that's fine. You live with that. You do what you do. But you can't let James Harden get drop 57 on you. You can't let James Harden drop 57 on you. You're not even competitive in a game where they didn't have 3 starters. And one guy, literally one of their players, did all the damage. You just can't. mean, you got at least, you have to at least be competitive in this game. If they, if they'd have lost by six and he's in kind of normal rotations or whatever, and it's, you know, and James Harden scored 35, 40, I mean, it's whatever. I mean, James Harden's good and the Rockets are good and it's just another loss. But some of these things in this game are just kind of inexplicable. And to not even, you know, to not even show up and, you know, to not even really make it a competitive game in the second half was very disappointing to see from the Grizzlies. They get blown out, and I suspect that they'll probably continue to happen on Wednesday and then on Friday and Saturday, and the Grizzlies will come back home next Monday with most likely a record of 19-27, and then a bad spot because they can't be bad enough to be good, to get a good draft pick because there's so many people that are ahead of you. You can't really be good enough to be in the playoffs, and you got to just try to keep your head above water to get rid of that pick this year and move on from kind of getting out, under Boston's thumb, if you will, just kind of get rid of that pick and move on. So they're in a bad spot, but the Grizzlies, will, again, lose to the Rockets 112-94, take on the Bucks Wednesday night. Again, if you haven't followed the show already on Twitter, make sure you follow the show at Locked On Grizz. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at King_producer. If you want to be a feature sponsor on this show, please email me, lockedongrizz@gmail.com. We will have a conversation. Our audience is growing by the day. Until then, make sure you find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, or just go to lockedongrizzlies.com.